Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you for the sun that was here today outside, and what a blessing it is this time of year to have that. We just pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us as we look at some of the blessings that you've given us. May your Holy Spirit rain down to work on each and every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Natural healing and the brain. Natural healing and the brain. Now, could it be that some things like this, and if someone's hearing the recording, you can see it on the screen, but we have a cell phone, we have the video game controller. Could it be that this is keeping many young children away from this? Getting outside. We talked about this a little bit last night, that kids used to be part of life that you played outside. And I shared with you last night that researchers have found that the average child spends about 8 minutes outside a day. 8 minutes. And they have found that the average prisoner in a maximum security prison spends about an average of 2 hours outside a day. So the question is, who's really in prison these days? And I might argue it's the children, right? I mean, it's 8 minutes. I don't even understand. It seems criminal that schools wouldn't let kids out more than 8 minutes a day. When I was a kid, I mean, surely even a short break was more than 8 minutes, and it was outside. That was part of life, unless it was really rainy or something like that. But once again, just by way of review, we looked at God gave us all of his statutes. It says in Deuteronomy 6:24, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. God gave his commandments for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Meaning that the commandments also have a longevity benefit, that he might preserve our lives, right? We saw that man's strongest impulse urges him to seek his own happiness. And the Bible recognizes this desire and shows us that all of heaven will unite with man in his efforts to gain true happiness. Now, this is another interesting thought here. So God gave us his commandments for our happiness. Our greatest desire is to be happy. And notice this. God made nature also for our happiness. This is beautiful. God, who made the Eden home of our first parents so surpassingly lovely, has given the noble trees, the beautiful flowers, and everything lovely in nature for our what? Happiness. Now think about that. If God gave us all the beautiful things that are in nature, and he gave them specifically to make us happy, and if we're spending 8 minutes a day outside, could it be that we're missing some of the things that God actually created to make us happy? And I'm guessing in those 8 minutes that your average child is spending outside a day, they're not actually spending time thinking about nature or even looking at nature, right? That's not even an issue, right? It's literally 8 minutes, as I said, I'm guessing, and I'm just thinking about it, would probably be about the time that it would take to get from the car, from the house to the car, and then from the car to school, and then from, school to the car, and then from the car to their home. That would be about 8 minutes, right? So meaning they're spending almost zero amount of time outside. And so could it be that we're missing of the things, the simple things that God gave us to bring happiness? We might be missing out on them. We might be totally kind of lost as to what God's actually trying to use to make us happy. In the Bible, speaking of Jesus, our perfect example, in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, the Word of God says, "And in the morning, speaking of Jesus, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." Jesus spent a lot of time outside. We know that because of partly how much he walked, right? I mean, the mode of transportation for Jesus, yes, he rode a donkey one time that we know of, but in general, it was what? It was walking, and it was outside. And some people actually estimate, and I think this is probably an exaggeration, some estimate that Jesus walked 20 miles a day. I doubt it. But he walked a lot. We know that because of the travels. We know where he went. And we can actually say, okay, he went from this city, this town, to that town. We know how long that is. And so he walked a significant amount of time outside. And not only that, he spent time praying outdoors. And any of you know that you've spent any time out in the great outdoors, and you have devotions out there, you have time to pray out there. There's something special about that, isn't there? There really is something special about spending time in nature, especially prayer time. Now, we already looked at the fact that too much, you know, time on devices and so forth. We looked at the fact that people are addicted to the internet and video games. They've actually found a research that it shrinks their frontal lobe specifically, the spiritual portion of the brain. Now, here's the thing. So here's some of the negative, but we're going to get to the real positives tonight about this. But I want to share a study with you that we haven't shared yet on nature, technology, and memory. And actually, Fadi is going to come up, and she is going to share with us about this.
All right. So nature, technology, and memory. And this is a very interesting one. So what it says is they took test subjects, and they were to walk through an arboretum. That's a natural setting, to see how nature and technology would affect their memory. So what they did is they took one group and they would walk for 30 minutes through the arboretum talking on their phone. So that was one group. The second group would have to hand over their cell phone before the walk, and another group would take the memory test before going on the walk. Okay? So one group didn't go on a walk at all. They just had to take the memory test. One group went on the walk with their cell phone and then took the memory test. And then one group went on a walk in nature without their cell phone and then took the test. Let's see what the results are. Now, those of you in school, listen up. This is good, good information. What happened? The result was, while taking a memory test, those who were on the cell phone scored about 30%. The results were about the same for those who took the test before the walk. So whether you, those that just went in and took the test and didn't take a walk, and those that took the walk with their cell phone scored the same. But look at the ones that went on a walk in nature without their cell phones. Those who walked for a half hour in nature scored an average of 80%. Isn't that significant? I mean, that just blows my mind. But you know what it tells us? There's something about nature that God created that makes our mind work well. Right? Our mind just works better when we're out in nature. I can't explain it to you completely, but God said to do it, and He said it brings us happiness. Hey, it brings us happiness in scoring better on tests too, right? So as a student, it'll make life easier, won't it? So, thumbs up to going out and walks in nature, right? Well, last night we talked a little bit about delayed gratification and how important it is in later life, right? We talked about the marshmallow experiment. And for those of you that don't know, it was just a study in the 60s and 70s that they did where they tried to see how children who had the ability to delay gratification, how it ended up predicting how successful they would be later in life. And because they followed them for like 40 years, and they saw if they were able to delay gratification as a child, it predicted how they would be successful as adults. So huge thing. But what about phone time and delayed gratification? What does that do to a child's ability to delay gratification? Researchers compared young children who were mobile media users with those who did not use mobile media devices. And what happened? Children who used mobile media were substantially worse than non-mobile media users when it came to being able to delay gratification. This is huge for people who are trying to teach their kids to be successful in life, right? You want to instill that ability of delaying gratification because it will mean success later in life for them, right? In many areas, including test taking. They showed that you would have higher SAT scores if you learned how to delay gratification. What else? One of the greatest predictors of success in later life is a child's ability to have strength in the area of delayed gratification. A study was conducted to discover if looking at nature could help increase the power of delayed gratification. Again, nature. Let's see what they found. Subjects were to look at pictures of nature. Now, mind you, this is not even being in nature, but just looking at pictures of nature. And it says mountains or lakes. Or they were to have them look at pictures of buildings in the city. So they either looked at natural things or they looked at cityscapes. What was the results of that? Those who had looked at the pictures of nature exhibited substantially more power of delayed gratification and self-control. Just by looking at pictures of nature made people have more self-control. So what if we spent time in nature, right? If we spent time in nature, what would that do to our self-control and delayed gratification? Wow, amazing. Psalms 121, verse 1 and 2 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. There's help from looking up to the hills, right? There's a blessing in it. In Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8, it says, this is about delayed gratification. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Isn't that a neat verse when you think about delayed gratification? It says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. How many people enjoy starting something new? We don't, right? It's hard to start something new, a new habit, a new whatever. How about delayed gratification in, like, let's say you're in school and you're just struggling to get to the end of whatever it is you're doing, right? Whatever your goal is. It's hard to begin, but how gratifying is it to get through and finish, right? So better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. But just looking at nature, isn't that beautiful? Just looking at nature benefits us, right? Just looking at it. And this is about happiness here. It says, in order for the young to enjoy perfect health and perfect happiness, every organ and function must be in perfect operation as God designed they should be. If all the organs act their natural part, life, health, and happiness will be the result. Too little exercise and staying indoors too much, as Chad was talking about earlier, will bring on feebleness and disease of some one or more of the organs. Wow. Right? Bring on disease and all kinds of feebleness and maybe some mental issues as well. You know, like not getting out and moving. A lot of kids are told that they're just hyperactive. Could they be hyperactive because they need to be out moving, right? Could it be more that that's what they need? Yeah. Let's look at this. This is really interesting. Can listening to nature be a benefit to us mentally? Just listening to nature. So it was at the University of Sussex, and participants were to listen to either natural environments or artificial environments. And the natural environment sounds included wind in the trees, and another environmental sound was a brook, the babbling brook. And MRI scans were done. And during the natural sound, the brain had an outward focus. Okay, so keep this in mind. During natural sounds, the brain had an outward focus. And what about the other sounds? During the artificial sounds, the brain had an inward focus, similar to what is seen in people with depression, anxiety, and PTSD. Isn't that interesting? So during the natural sounds, like, you know, the wind and the trees and the babbling brook, it had a calming effect and an outward effect on the brain, right? But people who have depression, anxiety, PTSD, what are you mostly thinking about? Yourself, right? So you have an inward focus. And what happens when you think about yourself? Right? When you think a lot about yourself, the problems don't get fixed, right? Your problems don't get resolved thinking about yourself more. Your problems get resolved when you have more outward thinking and upward thinking, right? That's when problems get fixed. So those who at the beginning of the study had the highest levels of stress had the most significant drop in their stress levels during the natural sounds. So guess what? Those of us that feel that we're too busy, right, and we got too much going on to get out and hear those beautiful natural sounds, are the ones that would benefit the most, right? Those that are stressed most will benefit the most if they just get out and experience that. There's a calming effect that comes on us as we spend time out in nature. Look at this quote. It's in Second Thessalonians. To walk out after a meal, hold the head erect, put back the shoulders, and exercise moderately will be a great benefit. The mind will be diverted where? From self to what? To beauties in nature. So here, this outward focus, right? Isn't that interesting what science just told us? The less the attention is called to the stomach after a meal, the better. If you are in constant fear that your food will hurt you, it most assuredly will. Forget self and think of something cheerful. Isn't that powerful? It's just so beautiful. So when you go out in nature and you listen to the natural sounds, you see the beautiful things, it makes you happy, it makes you calm, you forget self and your problems, and you think about God and His nature and something cheerful. And all these things will pass away. I just think that's powerful. But look at this one, Counsels on Health, page 171. A sweet sense of restfulness and refreshing comes over them as they listen to the murmuring breezes. The drooping spirits revive, the waning strength is recruited. Unconsciously, the mind becomes peaceful, the fevered pulse more calm and regular. This is very biological, right? What's going on here, isn't it neat? So all from what? Listening to these natural sounds. That as we're spending time out in nature, it brings it revives us, but also brings a calmness and a peacefulness that we are all looking for, aren't we, in today's society? We're just looking for a little bit of peace, and we can have it. We just spend the time being out in nature. So nature and relieving stress. Students were sent into the forest for 2 nights. They discovered that students who spent time in nature had lower levels of cortisol than students in the city. So cortisol is a stress hormone, right? That's released when you're stressed. And so that if they just spent time in nature, it lowered their levels of the stress hormone cortisol. Wow. So just spending a little time going out camping would be a benefit. Another study showed students in nature had lower levels of heart rate and cortisol. So it actually decreases your heart rate. And one of the predictors of longevity is that you don't have a high heart rate, right? But you usually have a good resting heart rate. This one is very interesting. It was done in Sweden. This study was done in Sweden. Urbanization and incidence of psychosis and depression. Follow-up study of 4.4 million women and men in Sweden. So this is a study conducted on the entire population of Sweden of those ages 25 to 64. There's not, you know, their populations aren't as big as ours, but they were able to study 4.4 million people. I mean, that's a big study, right? It's a pretty big study. Swedes are quite active in nature, whether it's in the summer or winter. And we've lived in Norway before, and in Norway, people walk a lot, and they even, they'll have these walking sticks. Have you guys seen those? Where they'll use them during the summertime as well. They'll just have them all the time, and it just kind of helps you to keep your gait steady and then also your posture straight. And they also have it, what do they call that? Like the skiing thing. I forget, but it's the biggest sport in Norway, is this cross-country skiing. It's the biggest sport. It's more than soccer. It's more than, because you know soccer worldwide is like the biggest thing, but to the Norwegians, it is cross-country skiing. And they also do like skeet shooting with it too. It's like you go and go, and then you shoot at something, and then you keep going. Anyway, so they're very active. So when we lived in Norway, when you walk at night, because remember, it gets dark early, you have to have a reflector in your pocket that is pinned to your pocket to a string. And when you go out walking at night, you take it out of your pocket and you let it hang so that the reflector is with you all the time so that you don't get hit by a car. Because if you get hit by a car and you don't have that reflector, it's your problem. You can get a ticket for not having the reflector on you. Yeah. So when we came there, immediately the people we were staying with, they said, oh, you need a reflector before you go walking or else you get in trouble. And we're like, okay. So she gave us a reflector. But that's how big walking is there. They walk, walk, walk. So this is Sweden. And so back to the study. So Swedes are quite active in nature. In areas that were the most populated, it increased the chances of someone having psychosis by 68 to 77%. And increased the chances of having depression by 12 to 20%. So the more populated the area, the more mental illness. Wow. Did God want us to be in nature? Yes. Is there a blessing in being in nature? Is there a calmness that comes with stress relieving? You know, I mean, it's just amazing what nature does for us. But what about nature being the cancer killer? Have you heard about that? Okay, we're not claiming it clears up everything, but this is really, really neat. So, natural killer cells. People who have more natural killer cell activity have lower levels of cancer. So that means these cells are helping fight off cancer, right? They had 12 males from large corporations in Japan, and they were taken on a 3-day, 2-night trip into the forest. They spent time walking in a Hinoki cypress forest. And they actually have these scents now that you know, like the essential oils and that kind of thing of the Hinoki. Oh, it's the next slide. Yeah, so I'll go to that real quick. All right. Let's continue. So they spent time walking in a Hinoki cypress forest. What happened? 11 out of 12 had nearly 50% higher levels of natural killer cell activity. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Just from walking in a forest, okay? This is walking that they had higher levels of natural killer cell activity. But there's more. They also saw an increase in the number of natural killer cells. So not only did the activity of the natural killer cells increase, but the number of them increased just from being out in nature. And the change began within 1 day of being in the forest. Within 1 day, they're testing them, right? They're seeing their blood levels, and they're seeing that their natural killer cell activity and production increase from being in a forest. Wow. God is so good, isn't he? He knows how to heal these bodies. So 11 of the 12 men took the same length trip into the city and walked the same amount. Because they said, well, maybe it's just the walking that helps, right? So they decided, let's do this, see what happens. They saw no benefit to natural killer cell activity in the city trip. No benefit. I mean, that's just significant. You think, well, you know, if I exercise in the city, it's got to have some. But we're talking about just the natural cells, you know, killing cancer. Ability to kill cancer is not there compared to being in the forest, right? And the effect happened within 1 day. And mind you, we're talking about these people who are in corporations in Japan, talk about busy, busy, stressful lives, right? And yet going out into these places really affected them in a positive way. So what do the Japanese call this? They call it forest bathing. Isn't that neat? Forest bathing. And guess what? The forest bathing lasted, the effects of it, you know, the natural killer cell effect, lasted for a month. A month. Just having that little time out in nature had positive effects on them physically for a month. Wow. So Pathfinders, when you guys go out to take Pathfinder trips, know that you are physically helping yourself as well. Not just spiritually, right? But also physically, you're helping yourself to get out and get that. I grew up in Chicago, and I called it the concrete jungle, okay? Like I grew up in the city proper, and that's what I called it. So Pathfinders was my escape from the city, because we would go out camping, and I just loved it. We even went out, like, big trips in the summertime. We went to Montana one time and rafted on the river for 2 weeks. To these little city kids, we just loved it, absolutely loved it. And to this day, I just so look up to my Pathfinder leaders and think, how did you guys do it? Like, how did you take this responsibility? And, you know, it just blew my mind. I mean, to this day, it blows my mind. So anyone that's involved in that way, God bless you. That's awesome. You know, it's just awesome. And my brother and I, to this day, we talk about it, and we just were in awe of, like, the volunteerism, the love, everything that these people would give to us kids. And so I loved it. That was like my escape. And then another year we went to the Boundary Waters in Minnesota. Anybody ever been there? I figure it's a little closer here. It's Boundary Waters of Canada. It's way up in Minnesota and it's beautiful. You just canoe from island to island. We did that as well. It's just wonderful. Anyway, so we did our forest bathing when I was a kid. So they share that it may be beneficial to take a monthly trip to the forest to enhance your immune function. That's what this study came out to say. Isn't that cool? So that would be my prescription for you this evening. So it says, light was given that there is health in the fragrance of the pine, the cedar, and the fir. And there are several other kinds of trees that have medicinal properties that are health-promoting. Let not such trees be ruthlessly cut down. Let them live. Doesn't that sound like a tree hugger? Yeah. It's funny, huh? But it's so true. And look at what today we're finding out about these essential oils and all of this, right? Because there's something healing about these trees, right? There's just something that's good. Like, specifically, the pine, the cedar, the fir, they have these healing properties that we can't completely explain, right? But they're there. They're there, and our bodies respond to them, right? And we know about the fact that, you know, we give them, CO2? And then they give us back oxygen, O2, right? We understand that, but there's more to it, right? There's more to that healing property of what they give us. And God is so good that He's made these things to counteract sin, right? Sin destroys this planet, right? Sin destroys our bodies. Every day we're bombarded by things, right? And so we've been given these simple remedies to counteract the effects of this planet on us, right? What about gardening and mental health? In the UK, they have what is called an allotment garden. Have you guys ever seen any of these? They're usually in big cities. Yeah. Vern just raised his hand. Exactly. In England, right? So we've seen them in Germany as well, and they're beautiful. It's just such a neat little thing. People, like, rent out these little plots, and it's not just like, you know how we have them here in the States? Sometimes you'll see them in certain places, and they'll just get plowed over, and you just have this little, these are like full-out little gardens, and you have your place, and they have grass and flowers and a regular garden like we do, and then they have like a little cottage in there. You can't always stay in there all the time, but beautiful, beautiful things. So they did a study. It was done looking at 136 allotment gardeners before and after gardening. 133 non-gardeners were the control group. It was seen that the gardeners had significantly better self-esteem, mood, general health, less depression and anger than non-gardeners. So gardening helped in so many different ways, right? Why not, right? And then guess what? You're feeding yourself from your own stuff anyway, so there's got to be a blessing there too. It says here, the Healing Garden, scores of studies have been conducted on gardening and how it affects health. Gardening has benefits on levels of anger, anxiety, body mass index, mental function, depression, fatigue, life satisfaction, loneliness, mood, self-esteem, tension, and vigor. All these things are benefited, this is what science is showing us, just by gardening. What does Ministry of Healing tell us? It says, exercise in the open air should be prescribed as a life-giving necessity. And for such exercises, there is nothing better than the cultivation of the soil. Let patients have flower beds to care for or work to do in the orchard or vegetable garden. As they are encouraged to leave their rooms and spend time in the open air, cultivating flowers or doing some other light, pleasant work in their attention will be, their attention will be diverted from themselves and their sufferings. Again, that reverting away from yourself and your problems, right? Or diverting away from it and focusing on something cheerful, right? But look at all these benefits that she's talking about that you get from cultivating flowers and vegetables. Isn't that beautiful? And this is flowers included, just to let you know, because sometimes we think, oh, is it worth spending money on flowers? Oh, it is. There's so many benefits to flowers and the scents and all of that. I could show you study after study even about smelling flowers. You know, just the simple things. And yet they have such beautiful effects on us. And it's interesting that she's talking about let the patience, right? And she was telling them in that day that they should have, in connection with the hospitals, that they should have gardens for the patients to work in, right? And how beneficial. There was a man before this time, actually, in the 1800s, and I'm sorry, I don't remember his name, but he's a doctor, and this was a mental institute that he was working at. And they would have people work in the gardens, and they would have them work in different things, chopping wood and all that. And he noticed, back then, he noticed that if people felt like it was beneath them to do some of these manual things, right, manual labor, that they did not heal, and they ended up staying in his mental institute. But those that got out and worked and got the fresh air and sunshine and laboring and got all the benefits, he said they would get well and go back home. And this is way back when, and he said he just noticed this over and over. So there's a benefit for us to get outside if we want better mental health, right? And the reason I just keep coming back to this, it seems like I'm, you know, beating a dead dog, but today's society, we have a lot of mental illness, right? And many of us could be plagued at any time. We didn't show you this one, but I should have, and it was actually one in the University of Michigan. No, not University of Michigan, State. Michigan State, thank you. So they did that one there, and what it was is getting out in the winter and what it did for mental health and test taking and all that. They said it didn't matter because they thought, oh, maybe it's the winter or summer. The test results were the same, whether it was the winter or the summer, what it did for them mentally. And so how important for us here when the sun's not shining, that we need to get out and get the fresh air. And you know what? Even if the sun's not shining, it's a lot brighter outside than it is in here. Right? Amen. It's a lot brighter. And so that is, in and of itself, is having an effect on us, whether we realize it or not. Because staying indoors, you get defeated. Right? Because you're always thinking, oh, I should have. But when you get out and you come back, how do you feel? You feel accomplished, like, I just conquered the weather, right? I did it. I didn't let it beat me, and I went out and I enjoyed it, and I feel refreshed and invigorated. And there's benefits, I'm telling you. There's just benefits, and you can get through the winter a lot easier, like the studies are showing, and like we've been told in Ministry of Healing. But how about a scientifically proven way to increase brain volume? So a study was done at the University of Illinois in 2006. A study was done at the University of Illinois in 2006, and what happened? People who were previously sedentary, okay, so they were not active before this. Now, this is powerful. Why? Look at the ages 60 to 79. Just real quick before I share this, remember what Chad said this morning about MRI scans that they had. Oh no, sorry. Let me go back so that you don't look at what I'm before I tell you. Remember this morning he talked about shrinking the frontal lobe, right? He said that what shrinks your frontal lobe? What's that? media, right? Overconsumption of media. And specifically, video games and online stuff, right? So overconsumption of media shrinks, literally shrinks your frontal lobe. But guess what else does? And he said as you get older, it naturally happens, right? But why do you think it naturally happens as you get older? Because you become more sedentary. So with that, I'm going to have Chad come up and share with you this study from the University of Illinois and about how to reverse that shrinkage. I just love this stuff. It's powerful.
This is absolutely fascinating research here. So this is a study from the University of Illinois, and I label it a scientifically proven way to increase brain volume, specifically the frontal and temporal lobes, which, once again, we know can atrophy, can actually shrink, we could say, when someone is, as Fadia said, over-consuming media, video games, and so forth. And as we get older, our brain shrinks anyway. So people who previously were sedentary were enrolled in a study. These people were ages 60 to 79, and that's actually very good news because it'd be one thing to find out, oh, well, young children, they can really enhance their brains, but what about, you know, some of the rest of us? Well, these people were 60 to 79, and they put them on, these previously sedentary people, on a cardio exercise program over the course of 6 months. So they were getting their heart rate up in these exercises. So, and the control group did non-aerobic toning and stretching. So one group would do more stretching and the other group was doing the cardio. And MRI scans were once again done on these individuals. What did they find? The result was that there was an increased frontal and temporal lobe volume in the experimental group, meaning the portion of the brain that one of its aspects, one of the aspects, we know the frontal lobe is the decision-making center, it's been called the citadel of the mind. It is, part of it has to do with, you know, our spiritual life. It's a seat of spirituality, morality, and the will. This portion of the brain actually grew. It actually increased in volume after their cardio exercise program. But what about the toning and stretching group? You know, that's very popular today. Well, no increase in the stretching and toning group. That doesn't mean you should never stretch or anything. It just doesn't give you that brain benefit like the cardio exercise does, getting your heart rate up. So you want to get that heart rate up if you can. I mean, if you're severely unhealthy, work with your doctor on to make sure that you're healthy enough to do it. But for most people, we can adequately do that. So want to keep your brain strong, get out and do some aerobic exercise. So this is very exciting news that we don't just have to have that normal atrophy of our brains as we get older. Or we don't, even if our children have it because all they do is play video games, you know, your kids will hate it if you make them turn it off. They'll hate it, right? By the way, a little side note, if you want to get your kids to hate the Sabbath, what you do is you have them play video games all week, and when the Sabbath comes, turn it off, right? That's a good way to get them to hate the Sabbath, right? But the reality is maybe we need to change things up a little. I'm not telling anybody how to parent, but just thinking it through, you know, they're probably not going to like the day very much. And so we want to learn to do other things. And if you do choose to turn off, they're going to hate it for a while, but in the end, they're going to end up loving life a whole lot more once they get away from all these silly video games all the time. Life will become much more enjoyable. I think of the story, many of you have heard of the story of Ben Carson. Right, Ben Carson grew up here in Michigan, in Detroit specifically, and you know his mother was you know cleaning the houses of wealthy people and doing things, and she noticed that there was something about these wealthy people. Their kids didn't sit and watch what? Television all the time. A lot of the poor kids that just watch television, and we also know today some of the most successful people don't let their kids play video games, don't let them on the computer, they don't let them do any of these things. And so they actually, you know, whether it was Steve Jobs or, you know, various people, Madonna, you know, these people don't do that. And so they want their kids to be successful and they want them to be happy. Well, Ben Carson, his mother realized, wow, these successful people, their kids don't just watch TV all the time. So she told her children they had to start doing what? Does anybody know? Reading books. And then they had to do what after they read them? They didn't write book reports. And then as they did, she would sit there and she would kind of grade their papers. She would go over them and highlight things. And the reality, does anybody remember, though, his mother could not what? Read. So she was just kind of faking it, and they didn't know she couldn't read, right? And so, but what a wise woman, right? What a wise woman. She did that. And then now he is a nationwide name today. Very interesting. And so how much better? And once again, did he like it in the beginning when his mom made him read?
No.
He hated it. And actually, we don't like it. Our brains, as we already saw, it's harder for us when we haven't been doing much reading and we watch a lot of media. Our brains don't like it because it's a lot of work. But then after a while, he started to actually enjoy it. And so much so that he started getting straight A's. And then he obviously has become world-renowned because of it, becoming a neurosurgeon. And so, you know, we think of these things as a burden in the beginning, but they become such a blessing in the end. And the Bible even says that in the book of Hebrews. For the present time, all discipline, the Bible says, seems painful rather than pleasant. But afterward, it yields the fruit of righteousness. So all discipline is a burden to begin with, but later on, after you learn from it, it becomes a blessing to you. Now, this is some exciting research that I think is absolutely incredible. And by the way, just a little side note to everybody. We and this also could be for someone who's just listening online, but as we have the actual, you know, studies on there, so you can find out, you can look up the studies, look into the original studies for yourself. And this particular series is called Overcoming the Media Trap Naturally that we have. And you can learn more about it at anchorpointfilms.com. And if any of you are listening or hearing from here and you'd like us to come visit your church, just go to our website, anchorpointfilms.com, and contact us through there. But this is incredible research on awe and mental health. You know, the root word of the word awesome, awesome. They're actually doing multiple studies on the effect of awe on your mental health. Now, the word awe is a little bit nebulous. Like, what is an awe-inspiring experience? That's what researchers are actually looking at. What does it mean to have an awe-inspiring experience? Now, that could be, you know, you're out at the Grand Canyon, or you're looking at some beautiful vista somewhere on a mountain. Well, we don't have a lot of mountains here in Michigan, although there are some up in the UP, right? They're called the Porcupine Mountains, right? So we do have some, but not a lot of that kind of stuff. But here's the thing. You don't have to necessarily be out in a mountain or in some great, incredible place. We can have awe just by looking at a leaf or a tree or anything, right? And where you just look at it and you really think about it. You can have an awe-inspiring experience anywhere. Now, let's look at the research, though. Now, what do we find? Researchers looked at people and their experiences with 8 positive emotions, one of which is awe. So the researchers are looking, okay, there's several different positive emotions. One of these positive emotions is awe, and those who experience more awe in life had lower levels of what is called interleukin-6, which is also a marker for inflammation. So awe may have a longevity and health benefit. So in our bodies, one of the markers for many different lifestyle diseases, heart disease, diabetes, cancer, can be inflammation within the body. And having an awe-inspiring experience can actually lower inflammation in your body. Incredible. So your body is better able to fight off disease and so forth by having awe-inspiring experiences. Other benefits of awe. I could go study after study, but I'm just going to review some quickly. It potentially lowers levels. These are secular, you know, scientists. They found that awe-inspiring experiences lower levels of materialism. And it's interesting to me that they even care to look into this, right? But they found that it makes you less materialistic, spending more time in nature. It helps people to be more humble. This is what they're finding. You think these would be some, like, you know, Seventh-day Adventists doing these studies. But these are just scientists doing this. They find people become more humble when they spend more time in nature. They have people also become more generous as a result of having awe-inspiring experiences. And it helps people feel more connected to other people by having these awe-inspiring experiences. But this next one I find incredible. So it's a little bit longer here. But researchers have discovered that awe-inspiring experiences in nature can increase your well-being and life satisfaction. So you become happier by having awe-inspiring experiences. But the benefits, including lowering stress levels, for how long? For a week. So having an awe-inspiring experience in nature, meaning you go out in nature and you're actually paying attention to nature, you're thinking about it, you're learning about nature, and as you're beholding it in nature, it lowers your stress levels for up to 7 days or so. Now think about that. If God knew that there was this benefit to spending time in nature, and that it would lower your stress levels for a week, why didn't He just give us a day to remember Him as the Creator and tell us, hey, it's actually good to get out and learn about creation on that day? Why didn't He just tell us to do that? Well, guess what? He did. You would think He actually knew something about our physiology and our biology, wouldn't you? And guess what? He does. To me, this is incredible. God, I mean, you see, we show all this science, but then we just show you the quotes and say, hey, we already knew all this stuff before any of the research ever came out. We were just told this stuff by somebody with a third grade education. This was incredible research. And yet, if we would just go back to all these scientific statements we've been given and just did studies on them, we would be the most cutting-edge people on the planet. We'd be the most cutting-edge. People would be like, how do you guys figure this out? How do you guys always know? Why do you not waste money on studies that don't turn out ending up the way you think they were? Your hypothesis was wrong because we already have the cheat sheet. We've already been told all this stuff before it ever happened. It's fascinating to me. Now, I'm going to show you a video clip from a documentary that my wife and I produced called Ancient Health. This is just a short clip, but it's an hour and a half documentary in total, and it's on cultures of longevity and the longest living people on planet Earth, one of which are the Seventh-day Adventists. And we're going to show you just a clip of this, which fits exactly with what we've just been talking about. So follow along.
Every one of us is programmed with a body clock. That body clock still functions if we were to lock ourselves up in a cave for many days. In fact, researchers have done this. And they find that people, even when they're cut off from all time cues, no light and dark cues, no newspapers, no television, no wristwatches, no cell phones, these individuals still stay on a circadian rhythm. Circa meaning about, DN referring to a day. So it's about a 24-hour rhythm.
It's best to take that rest until the next morning, or a rest on the weekly cycle.
But beyond the circadian rhythm, we also have weekly rhythms. They're called circa-septin rhythms.
We in humanity all march to a seven-day week.
Every culture throughout the world that I'm aware of still adheres to a weekly cycle of 7 days.
And there's times when humanity has tried to change that. The French tried to make everything metric, including the week, and tried to change it into a 10-day week with 10 hours, 100 minutes in each hour, 100 seconds in each minute.
And the mental institutions filled up because the decade, which is what they called the week, led to decadence and everything fell apart.
The other amazing thing about what science has shown is that every living creature has a seven-day rhythm. And that's more than just humans. A lot of people think, well, humans march to a seven-day week because somehow it started early in civilization. We just hung on to that. But why is it that flies have a seven-day rhythm? Why is it that algae have a seven-day rhythm and plants have a seven-day rhythm? Those things can't read the Bible.
The lunar month isn't divisible by seven. The year is not divisible by seven. There's nothing in the planets that we can find. And so the question is, why seven?
It brings me back to that very ancient council in the Bible where God said that He had given this day of rest to His people.
Well, I think that speaks to what the Bible has to say in regards to how we began, how life began. It was a common designer, a common creator that programmed in this seven-day rhythm.
He called it a Sabbath, a day where we could come apart.
And I think it's powerful evidence, actually, for a creator God.
One of the interesting things about Seventh-day Adventists is that they keep the Sabbath holy from sundown Friday until sundown on Saturday.
Sabbath keeping actually does have some significant mental health advantages. There's an improvement in IQ, even though they don't study on Sabbath or go to school on Sabbath.
So circa-septin rhythms is not just something from the culture, it's actually something biologically innate.
There's benefit to a nightly rest, but also benefit to a weekly rest.
So these things are part of our physiology. What is so interesting to me as a physician, if we cooperate, if we collaborate with these rhythms, we do best.
You know, you can't underestimate the remedy of what I call vitamin R, which is rest. And if it were sold in bottles, it would be the most popular vitamin on the market.
It's fascinating, isn't it? To think that it is a part of our physiology, it's a part of our biology, that God has all of these things that we've looked at tonight, including God's holy Sabbath, were designed for our good. They were designed for our happiness. God knew. God knew that He created it within us that every week, if we would spend time in nature, that it would lower our stress levels for the next week. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes the simple, we could call that a remedy. Spending time in nature is one of God's simple remedies. We saw that it has a cancer-fighting effect. Not that we believe that it will get rid of all cancer, but it increases our immune function, as we saw. Lowering or increasing levels of natural killer cells, which are a part of our immune function, where our body helps to fight cancer cells. And so God has made this, and as we do this, it lowers cortisol levels, stress hormones in our bodies, and this can take place for a week. Now, the natural killer cells can enhance for a whole month, but God has given this to us to make us happy, to give us joy, to give us peace. But it is also a test. Will we follow God? Will we keep His holy day? He doesn't force us to. He doesn't force us to be healthy. That's what's so amazing to me about God. I was raised in the Christian Reformed Church, which teaches that God forces humans to either do or to not do everything, meaning that you don't have a choice. You're predestined to do all the good you do, and you're predestined to do all the evil you do. But the Bible actually reveals, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose. The Bible actually teaches that you have a choice. And so God won't force you to do good things. He won't force you to get out into nature. He won't force you to keep His Sabbath. But it is a choice for us. And as we implement these simple things into our lives, we find the great benefits of it. You know, I'm someone who, you know, I never really used a lot of natural remedies and such. And then I was reading some of these things she told us about and how some of the herbs will be just as powerful or more powerful than the drugs. And so then I began to actually study the research, the actual scientific studies. And they're putting herbs head to head with legitimate, medication. Not all of them. Some of them are not legitimate at all. But some of them are actually put head to head with medication and find to be more successful at fighting the disease, like depression. They're more successful, and yet what? They have less side effects. And that's exactly what we were told. The research is coming out. So we're putting out a new series coming out on that particular thing. Historically, I wasn't all that into it, but I read these things and I think, well, she says it. It's got to be true, right? And so I found out, and secular people do the studies, and once again, she was right. God made all of these things to be a blessing for us. He cares us. He loves us with an everlasting love. We don't get to go to heaven because we spend time outside. We don't get to go to heaven because we eat right. But the reality is these things were made to make the path to heaven much more of a blessing. To make it much more of a blessing. Now, in closing, here's some quick things that help us to experience awe. We saw that awe can enhance our health, our happiness, lower levels of inflammation. One of the ways to experience awe, as the Bible says in Psalms 33, verse 8, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. So we have an opportunity every single day to have an awe-inspiring experience. We can spend time in God's Word every single day. God has given us that opportunity. We see in Psalms 119, verse 161, but my heart stands in awe of Your words. So we have an opportunity every day to spend time in awe of God in His Word as we have devotions every single day. So I want to challenge you, if you don't have devotions every day, begin. It's one of the greatest blessings you'll ever find in your life. Consistent personal devotion, spending time with Jesus. The Bible says in Psalms 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Take time to be still with God, both in His Word and in nature. He wants to bless you. You may be someone, I'll close with one story, like me. You grew up in the city. I grew up in this city right here. So it's always a blessing to come and visit. And, you know, we moved to South Dakota. I moved to South Dakota. But then later on, Claudia and I moved back to South Dakota. And I know there's mountain lions out there. And I know there's bear out on our property. But as I would go hiking in South Dakota, If I had been in the city for a while, we'd come back to visit because we travel full time. We'd come back to visit and I'd go for a hike in the hills and the mountains there in the Black Hills of South Dakota. And I'd know there's mountain lions. And you typically don't see them. Fadi, you got to see one time, but you just generally don't see them. But they may see you. And I'd go for a hike, and if I'd been in the city for a while, as I'd go for a hike, I was kind of uncomfortable. I'd be all alone, and I'd hear like a snap of a twig, and I would, you know, you would look just out of fear, you know. Oh, maybe the mountain lion, you know. And, you know, probably nothing. You know, it would be nothing. But then after a few days of being there again, I'd be totally at peace out in nature. Totally at peace. It'd feel like being home, being out in the forest. And I say that to say to you, some of you may not even like nature. It's dirty, it's nature, right? But if you begin to spend time in it, you'll begin to experience some of these benefits and you'll find some of the peace, that some of the joy that comes along with it. So I want to challenge you not only to spend time in God's Word, but to spend time in God's nature. But let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for Your Word, which we stand in awe of Your words. We're so thankful what You've given to us in the Scriptures, from Genesis to the book of Revelation. We're so blessed with these messages that we were given before the research ever came out. And we're so thankful to know that You gave these things for our happiness. And we know there's a devil, and the devil tells us, no, if you follow God, you're going to be burdened. It's just terrible. It's a horrible experience. It's bondage to follow God. And as we see, Father, we realize, no. This is a lie. That all of Your biddings, all of Your commandments, You actually give us the power to do them. You are the one who gives us the victory. As 2 Corinthians 3 tells us, the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us liberty. We're told in James that Your law is a law of liberty. Father, that You want to set us free, to have joy, to have peace, to draw nearer to You, to walk in Your commandments. Not to be saved, but because we have been saved through our beautiful Savior Jesus. And I pray that You draw each one of us nearer to You, and someone here may be super stressed. And we see the research shows that they may need to spend some time in nature more than anybody else to find those simple benefits. New research has come out that shows that just 20 minutes of time out in nature makes people happier. Father, help us take that time. We thank You for Your love. In the name of Jesus, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.